You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 24th of July, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. And we are live today because it's Friday, and you know what that means? It means we have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm excited. I'm really pumped for today's show. I think we're going to have a whale of a good show, Sven. I feel it in my bones, a whale of a show. I tell you, a whale.
I think you're right there, because we're going to be returning to one of our favorite subjects here. The morbidly obese being held up as perfect examples of beauty once again. But just before we do that, I have just remembered that I need to give a shout out to Clown World Productions on YouTube, which is Clown-World Productions on YouTube. Go and check out his YouTube channel. He's got an excellent animation there. It's called The Goblin and the King, and it's basically a preview of a children's story. Unfortunately, Grandpa hasn't yet managed to watch it. He's going to watch it at the end of the podcast, so I will just have to leave it to you listeners to trust me. Go and watch it. It's wonderful, and send the guy some support. Well, getting back to today's article that we're going to be discussing, and yes, it is the morbidly obese once again being held up as perfect examples of beauty. And the example that we have today is from Sports Illustrated Swimsuit 2020 edition. Plus size model Hunter McGrady is back to showing off her curves in Sports Illustrated Swimsuit's 2020 issue after making her debut in the magazine 3 years ago. The 27-year-old, who has been dubbed the curviest model ever to grace the pages of the iconic publication, was photographed by the brand's longtime photographer Yu Tsai while on location in Bali, Indonesia. The blonde stunner modelled a mix of high fashion swimsuits and tiny bikinis for her sizzling new spread in the magazine. And according to the model, this is her best year yet. Yes, these tiny bikinis were so tiny you couldn't actually see them for all the cellulite. I mean, what is going on here? Why are we promoting these huge bloated whales as something for people to aspire to? I don't want to be seen as if I'm knocking overweight people here. There are plenty of overweight people that they're like that because they're big boned or they've got difficulties with eating. But none of them that I've ever known would ever think of prancing around in a swimsuit and forcing that on everybody else and holding themselves up as an ideal for others to strive for. Most of them wish that they weren't overweight, and most of them do something where they're not going to be looked at like this. I mean, this is just embarrassing. I mean, that's the first point that I want to make, is that this is setting the wrong example for people to aspire to. People that are overweight should be looking to lose weight and get themselves healthy and fit. They should not be thinking, well, I'm super sexy because I'm so overweight and I want to show all my flesh in a magazine. That's my first point, and I'll just hand it over to you, Grandpa, for what you would like to say on this subject.
Well, I was just thinking that your little opening promo there, I'm wondering if by the time we finish this show, Clown World Productions is going to be banned from YouTube. Before we finish the show, they're already banned. Sorry, you had the wrong promotion. So much already here to soak in. You know, roll curvy. She's the curviest model. Curves. She has curves. I back in the day, we called those rolls, but now it's Now it's curves. I was thinking how dangerous it might have been doing this photo shoot in an exotic place like Indonesia. I mean, does Indonesia allow whale hunting? You know, we could have had a really serious mishap. You know, get the harpoon, I tell you. We're gonna make a bounty off of this one. I don't know if Indonesia has whale hunting. It's something that they should have surely looked into. Or maybe, you know, what if some environmentalists, because I saw some of the pictures, this is the sort of thing I subject myself to for you the listeners. It's the sacrifices I make. And I saw some of these shoots, some of these photos where she's like on her knees wallowing around in the surf. And I just couldn't help but picture these animal groups or whatever, like running up there and they're pitching water on her. And it's like, hurry, we can save this one. Get the water on it. Get the truck in here. We're gonna net this one up. Get them back into the water. Start pushing her out into the surf. You can make it live free. Ah, it's just there's so many jokes, and I can't help it. It's, you know, we've done this. We've talked about this before. And it's just, once again, it's no different than when they present this quote unquote modern art, and it's hideous. You know, it's, and the more absurd and hideous it is, they tell us, oh, well, if you don't understand it, then you're not cultured. You obviously are not cultured nor educated to understand the beauty of this modern art, because you're sitting there going, well, this isn't artwork. Artwork is this thing over here that is a picture of a stream with an old house or maybe an old West painting, you know, depicting like some Indians and I think Indians is racist now. I don't know. Anyway, some Indians and buffalo or something. You'd be like, I could see what it is, and it's like, oh wow, you could see the emotion on people's face. That's artwork. This shit over here is a bunch of scribbles on a canvas, and it's oh no, you don't understand. This is what true art is, because you look at these scribbles on a canvas and you can just imagine what the artist was. No, this looks like something a 7-year-old, you know, with like mental problems scribbled out. This is the same thing. They give us this picture of this huge lard ass here. And, you know, as you said, Sven, I mean, this isn't somebody like trying to carry themselves with some dignity and wear some clothes that kind of, you know, is a little more flattering. You know, this is like in your face. I'm putting this tiny bikini on, which disappears under the fat rolls. And I'm going to tell you that it is beauty. And you are all going to look at this and be like, oh, she is so gorgeous. No, nobody's going to say that. No, normal people look at this and be like, good night. I can go down to Walmart and see this shit any day. Why in the hell do I got to buy Sports Illustrated for this? And yet, you know, they, oh, you don't understand. This is what true beauty is now, at least true beauty in the clown world.
Well, this brings up a point here, because objective beauty is based on perfect proportion. And when you've got somebody that is massively overweight, they're out of proportion, aren't they? Their body size is out of proportion. I mean, you could get a particularly beautiful woman and you could show their face and you could appreciate the beauty in it. But when they've got this huge overweight body, it's out of proportion. It's not beautiful. It's not something to aspire to. Now, I think one of the reasons they may be doing this is because the races are different, and the appreciation of beauty is different, the appreciation of proportion. Now, if we look at the black races, there was a particular type of black person that was called the Hottentots. And Hottentot is not, apparently it's not a term we're supposed to be using nowadays, but that was the classification for them. They're called Khoi now. And there was this lady called the Hottentot Venus, and she was just basically a representation or a good example of that particular type of race. And they had absolutely huge haunches, massive backside. This woman was taken back to exhibit throughout France, I believe. She's quite famous. You can look her up. The Hottentot Venus, she is called. And there are other pictures, black and white pictures of this same type of people. And they've got this huge backside. And then you can look at a lot of the black women today, and they'll have huge backsides. There's one, a mulatto girl, actually. She's called Sharon on EastEnders, the lady that plays Sharon on EastEnders. When she was about 16, 17, 18, she had a bra size of about A, basically. Now that she's 45, 50, she's got a bra size that's got to be double G, maybe even double H. And it basically shows you that certain types of black race, because there are different variations of the black race, they seem to continue growing. Their backsides continue growing, their breasts continue growing, and obviously the males of that particular type are going to find that attractive. And I think what they're doing here is, what they're trying to do is they're trying to blend the beauty ideal of the white race, which would obviously contain fair skin, blonde hair, and they're trying to blend that with beauty ideals of the black race, which would be a huge backside and overweight, and they end up just failing on all accounts. But it's this idea that you can somehow manage to please everybody without excluding anyone, this idea of being inclusive, and I think that partially plays into this, Grandpa. I mean, you must have noticed this fascination that black males have with black females with huge wide backsides. I think that's what is playing into this. And of course, what that does then, it encourages race mixing. It encourages black men to find white women attractive by showing these overweight white women. And I think that plays into this, as well as also obviously degrading our ideals of beauty, and also holding up somebody who is extremely unhealthy as being an ideal for our young women to aspire to. What do you think of that theory, Grandpa?
I'm not sure. I have mixed emotions on it, to be quite honest, because she doesn't only have a huge backside. She's got a huge front side, a huge side side. And there ain't no direction of this bitch that ain't huge. And she's just huge. So I don't know, you know. And of course, you do have a point in the sense that, once the proportions of a white woman become large enough, you know, her options start becoming limited. I mean, let's be honest, you know, 9 times out of 10, when you see, I don't know if we're allowed to use the term mud shark, but if you see a white woman who tends to be with the brothers, you know, I mean, it's 9 times out of 10, you see these bitches and you're like, yeah, it's wrong. But you're also looking, it's like, yeah, we're not losing a whole lot because they like 400 pounds, like waddling along. And it's like, man, you know, we're losing that out of the gene pool. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I can see your point. But either way, it's this, like I said, this photo shoot, I looked at these pictures and it was very, and this is putting things in the most flattering light. You know, you have a professional photographer and they're using professional, perfect lighting and this and that. And this is what we're viewing here is the post editing. This is after the airbrushing and stuff. Cause you'll notice in these pictures, like, you know, you see all the huge fat rolls, but you know, they've blended out some of the cellulite. They've blended out some of the disgusting stretch marks. It's all over, you know, so this is like as good as it gets, and it still makes you want to lose your lunch.
Well, this is just it. I mean, a lot of these pictures are actually so airbrushed out, you can't really even see her features there. Well, let's have a closer look at what they say about this. Hunter shared the bikini shot on her Instagram on Tuesday to celebrate the publication of the highly anticipated issue. So just imagine that, you know, this is Swimsuits Illustrated. This is supposed to be highlighting great beauty, basically. That's why people get this magazine, because they want to see beautiful women. It's a highly anticipated issue. And they've just put this huge fatso on the front of it and telling everybody that she's beautiful. And this is what she has to say about it. She says, every time the magazine comes out, it is a pinch me moment. Thank you, MJ Day, for consistently being a catalyst in the way our industry is changing, she added, referring to SI swimsuit editor MJ Day. Well, you know, they used to say pinch an inch to do with Weight Watchers here. I think it was you don't actually want to pinch an inch. I mean, I don't think you really want to pinch any flesh at all, let alone this great tractor tire that is around this female here. She says, this year I feel the most secure, the most confident, the most beautiful. I just feel my best this year, she said. The most challenging part of my career is dealing with people who don't understand what I stand for. Before every photo shoot, I am literally praying. I am praying for the intention to inspire. What is she trying to inspire people to do? To eat more? To be unhealthy? To die younger than they should actually die? She makes this big point of she's somehow standing for something, but she's standing for laziness, she's standing for arrogance, she's standing for forcing herself on people that who are wanting to buy a magazine to see beautiful women in it. They're not buying a magazine to try and be brainwashed into thinking that this is beautiful when it isn't. This is why I think that this is being aimed at black males. I mean, if you look at look at Beyonce, she's got huge haunches, and Beyonce is held up as an ideal, and they hold her up as an ideal for white women to try and look like as well, and yet she's got a massive rear end. I really do think this is trying to appeal to blacks, and at the same time is trying to subvert the white ideal of beauty. I mean, what do you make of her few comments here, Grandpa?
I can't. I'm sitting here, you know, you would have heard me laughing in the background, but I had my mic muted so I wouldn't be distracting from the high quality of our programming here. Because I read this quote here: this year, I feel the most secure, the most confident, the most beautiful. I just feel best this year. And I'm sitting here laughing, going, yeah, keep telling yourself that, bitch, because it's obviously that's what you're telling yourself over and over. But it's not the truth. She's a stunner. All right. I'm just stunned looking at, and my understanding here, is she was in the magazine, but she wasn't on the cover, because I think they put her on the cover last time. And I think their sales plummeted, because when I looked at the actual cover, they were celebrating like these women of color that they put on there, and they put like some barely black women of color that weren't lard asses on the front cover, because I'm pretty sure like if they put that on the front cover, they're going to sell like zero copies, because like I say, nobody needs to pay money to see that. You can see that anywhere. You can go anywhere here in America and see that. That's not anything out of the ordinary. So yeah, they try to like have it both ways. They're like, we're going to put Shamu in the issue here, and you can fold back, and it's not that she's a centerfold, it's just that it takes two pages to fit her fat ass in the magazine. But she thinks she's got a centerfold. She's like, I'm the centerfold. It's like, no, you're just so big that we have to open the magazine. It took two pages to fit you in there. But at the same time, they said, well, we're not putting her on the cover because we're putting these lovely women of color who are like barely of color and actually have like normal body sizes. So they're trying to have it, they're kind of trying to have it both ways, I'm thinking here. And like I say, all of the rest of this is just gibberish. It's just gibberish that this woman tells herself every day. It's when you get around where you can spot this stuff, you can't help but to laugh, because she's telling this to other people, but you can see what she's actually doing is revealing her inner dialogue. This is what she tells herself while that voice inside her is screaming, you're humiliating yourself. You know, everybody looks at this is going to be laughing because it's so disgusting, but she's telling herself, I'm being brave. Oh, I'm going to inspire people. This is bravery. I'm secure. I'm confident. I'm most beautiful. If you were secure and confident, you wouldn't have to sit there and tell yourself that over and over every time. This is just her inner narrative she tells herself to get herself to go out there and to do this. You know, it's sad in a way, because like if somebody like this had people around them that really cared about them, they would sit there and say, you know, this isn't a good look. Don't do this. You're humiliating yourself, you know. And obviously, they don't have people that are using them. People will sit there and say, oh, you're just so brave. You're so gorgeous. And it's a false narrative, because, again, just like normal people are going to look at two paintings, an actual painting and a modern art painting, and go, well, that's art. That's shit. Yeah, people are going to look at this and be repulsed, you know, or laugh or think it's a joke. And we're sitting here making a joke of it. Basically, I am on this show, you know, and yet, like, nobody will tell them, you know, you should stop doing this because you're humiliating yourself. You should either get into shape or dress modestly, try to carry yourself with some dignity. And instead, I just keep sitting here thinking, you know, Debbie's a centipede, you know, little Murdoch shout out there, you know. But yeah, no, it's absolutely ridiculous. Nobody's buying into this. Nobody's buying into it. And yet they're trying to sell it. And they're telling this person, you know, though, you're doing all of these brave things. And it's a joke. you know, it's a really sad joke. And it's a sad joke because it's at this person's expense and they think they're being stunning and brave.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, it's really cruel, basically. Somehow, people have continued to tell her that, oh, yes, you can be a model. Yes, yes, you're absolutely beautiful. And she's believed it. She should have more sense than to believe this. There is a saying, don't believe the hype. Don't believe the things that people tell you about yourself, because you'll end up becoming a cropper. And that's basically what's happened here. She's had people around her that have continued to massage her ego and tell her how absolutely wonderful and beautiful she is. And, oh, yes, she's just as sexy as these top models are, and somehow she's managed to get to this position where they've stuck her on the front of this cover, where 99%, well, in fact, everybody is going to look at that and say, well, that is not objectively beautiful. But a lot of people, of course, will go along with it because they just don't, they just want to go along with what everybody else says, even though they know that what they're actually saying is wrong. It's cruelty. You know, people might say, well, it's cruel for us to laugh at it, but what is even more cruel than that is to lie to somebody and build them up and tell them that you know, they are the epitome of beauty when they're not. I mean, that is real cruelty there. Well, she says, we see only 1% of people, and I think it is important to see real people for who they are, the honest, truthful, raw people that we look up to. She continued, it just makes them feel more real and connected, and that's all I ever want, is to be connected to people. Well, that's not what people get this magazine for. They don't get it to see real people. They don't want to see the truthful, raw people. They want to see the epitome of beauty. They want to see airbrush. They want to see slimness. They want to see that there are actually real beautiful people out there. There is some beauty in the world. They don't want to be told there is no beauty left in the world. We just want to reflect just the humdrum and the mundane and the boring and they're nothing special, and try and tell everybody that that is special. People want something to look up to. They want something beautiful to look at. That's why they get this magazine. The people that buy this magazine are being shortchanged as well. She says, change is, of course, scary. And you know, people don't want to see it, but I will not stop until we all feel represented. You know, this isn't supposed to be everybody wins a prize. This isn't supposed to be, well, we can just put any old person on this cover. This is supposed to be the epitome of beauty. And she's basically saying she's not going to stop until she's just put the most plain people are represented on magazine covers. And eventually that will end up with the most beautiful people being castigated and not being wanted and being put down. But when they shouldn't be, they should be raised up. If people are beautiful, you know, they should be told that they are beautiful. People who aren't beautiful should not be lied to and told that they are, and encouraged to see themselves as something that they are not. It just, you know, it's just another part of the way that we're encouraged to see everything in this twisted way, and this reversal of what's good and what's evil, what's beauty and what's ugly. You know, I do feel sorry for this girl, to be honest, Grandpa, but then again, she should realize that she shouldn't believe the hype. Basically, she should be honest. Maybe she's just saying, well, I don't care, I'm just going to enjoy it anyway, and enjoy all this money, and maybe she's laughing at all of us. That could be it, really.
Well, I'm having to sit here and read this over and over again, because, you know, I'm fluent in some foreign language, namely, I'm pretty fluent in Ebonics, for instance. You know, I speak the big snood, and I can understand what's being said, but unfortunately, I'm not fluent in rationalization hamster, and so I probably understand more Korean and Japanese than I understand rationalization hamster. And all she's gibberishing out here is, this is the language of rationalization hamster spinning in its little wheel, running. And I'm having to read it over and over, and it's hard for me to understand what's even being said. It just makes them feel more real and connected. What the hell does that even mean? Real and connected. I mean, I don't care who you are. You wake up in the morning, you acknowledge the fact that you're real and connected. Connected to who? What's that even about? And that's all I ever wanted, is to be connected to people. What does this mean? You can't tell me. Nobody can tell me, because it doesn't mean anything. It's just rationalization hamster gibberish. Change is, of course, scary. Scary? I just looking at these pictures was pretty scary and traumatizing. And, you know, people don't want to see it. No, you're right. Nobody want to see that shit. You're right. Absolutely nobody wants to see it. But I will not stop until we all feel represented. Represented. Again, how are you being represented? Represented for what? Represented by who? What are you even representing? Your existence is what it is. Nobody's saying you don't exist unless you get a picture in a swimsuit magazine, because then I guess nobody feels represented. It doesn't mean anything. And I just, no matter how many times I've sat here and read this over and over, I can't really make hide nor hair of it. It doesn't make any sense. This is just like somebody walked out here and just vomited a bunch of emotionalism out. And I don't know. I don't know that I have the wherewithal to just keep picking through it, trying to make sense of it, because I have a feeling it doesn't make any sense.
You just want, you want the best of everything to be represented. You want beauty to be represented. You want things that that you've always dreamed of to be represented. Women like to look at like these bridal magazines, and they like to look at the home, rich and stately homes to go around and look at. They don't want to see their normal humdrum lives represented. They want to be able to have some kind of a dream, some kind of a fantasy of being something else. And what this is doing is saying, oh, no, you want to fantasize about being overweight. It's insane. When Hunter started her career as a straight-sized model, she was told her 114-pound body was too big. It wasn't until she embraced her natural curves that she saw success in the fashion industry. So they started out being honest with her, but then once she actually admitted that she was overweight, she was plus-sized, then she did okay in the fashion industry. So this sort of says that, she was really forcing herself on them and saying, look, I'm just as good as all the rest. So she's probably got parents that have, never said no to her, basically. She does sound like this was some kind of a spoiled child when she was young. Well, when SI Swimsuit teased the veteran's latest shoot on Instagram last week ahead of its release, the brand included quotes from Hunter about what the magazine means to her. SI has smashed the barriers that we have all been accustomed to for far too long. They have given the world an inside look at what it would look like if we brought inclusivity to the forefront, she said. Every woman is fierce. We are to be valued, to be seen, and to be heard. And they have created space for just that. So this is what it would look like with inclusivity to the forefront. This is exactly what we say. It just means standards are lowered. That's all diversity means. That's all diversity quota means. That's all pushing overweight people to the front means. It just means that mediocrity becomes the best. It means everything has to be leveled down to the lowest common denominator instead of encouraging people to raise themselves up to be the very best that they can possibly be. I mean, she is being honest here. This is a representation of inclusivity. And this says to me that inclusivity is not a good thing. It's not a good thing to aspire to. Well, what do you think of all this promotion of this bringing of inclusivity to the forefront, Grandpa?
Well, I don't know whether or not her parents ever said no to her, but obviously she ain't ever said no to a damn donut. Now, I don't know if this part about when she was 114 pounds, she was told she was too big. I mean, that could just be made up. We're at the point now, anytime I read a news story, I just assume they're lying to me. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to find out that hashtag never happened. But, it could have happened, because there was that whole thing in modeling. I don't know, maybe still thing, what they used to call heroin chick, and they used to do the other extreme. It just seemed like a few years ago, but it's probably a decade or so ago. And they were doing the opposite thing. They were parading these women around who looked like, they were on some sort of Ethiopian diet, and they had like the big dark circles under their eye. It looked like they were strung out on heroin, and they weighed like 50 pounds and their ribs were showing. And that was when they were telling us that was beautiful. And it had the same reaction. Nobody looked at that and was like, oh, she's hot. No, she looks like she could break if a wind blew her. That was disgusting as well. It was the other extreme. I remember when that was a thing. And now the very same people that promoted that as beauty a decade or so ago are now telling us that this other extreme is the beauty. And neither one of them is considered beautiful. Nobody thinks that's hot. But, it's just more ridiculousness. And it's so much lie here. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just this is just the language of the emotional hamster, spinning around in its wheel. Every woman is fierce. Well, that's stupid. No, It would be like if I said every man is brave. Well, no, I mean, cowards exist. I mean, every woman is fierce. No, they're not. We are to be valued. Why? For existing? I mean, I don't get that. To be seen. Well, nobody goes around with blinders on and says, I don't see you. I don't know that you exist. And to be heard, she's, believe me, the entire world doesn't have a hard time hearing women because it never ceases. And they have created a space for just that. Because unless you're, what is she even saying here? She's saying if you're a woman, if you're not in Sports Illustrated, then apparently you don't have any place in the world to be seen or heard or even to exist. It doesn't mean anything. And once again, it's just all gibberish.
I think beauty standards have stayed the same for thousands of years, haven't they? I mean, you can just look back at the old Greek statues, Roman statues, the sculptures. Beauty has always been the same. You can't change it. You can't force people to change their ideas of what beauty is. And it's based around these natural ideals, based around these natural proportion, perfect proportion, as I was mentioning earlier. Where she says, this magazine has evolved beyond just taking beautiful photos. It is the changes that emerge from the audience seeing themselves reflected in those photos. To be a part of something so groundbreaking and history-making is an absolute honour. Again, she's been quite truthful here. It has evolved. It's not just about taking beautiful photos anymore, obviously. It's about trying to socially engineer people. It's about trying to get them to change their ideas of what actual beauty is and reverse that and get them to think that ugliness is beauty. And well, why would the audience wish to see themselves reflected in those photos? As I've said before, the audience want to have a fantasy. They want to fantasize about being beautiful, like the beautiful person in those photos. I expect that the last thing that women would want to do is to actually be on the front of one of these magazines. I suspect that most normal women would be very embarrassed at that, to think of lots of people looking at them. You know, they wouldn't want that unless they were exceptionally beautiful and they had a realistic opinion of themselves. Otherwise, they would be worried that people would be mocking them or what have you. But I think this is a magazine that mainly men look at, isn't it, Grandpa? Sportswear Illustrated, is it? Isn't that a men's magazine?
Yeah, back in the day, the whole point of it was like, you know, if you were a married guy, you know, I'm talking way back in the day here, you couldn't go out and buy Playboy or Penthouse or something, but you could have Sports Illustrated. And the whole magazine is supposed to exist, by the way, about sports, football and basketball, whatever. It's a sports magazine. And once a year, they would issue their swimsuit. They would have their swimsuit issue, one issue a year. And, you know, that was like men's soft porn, you know. I mean, they were clothed and, you know, you got to look at these smoking hot women on the beach and you know, that. But I mean, all the other issues out of the year were supposed to be about sports. But yes, it's a men's magazine. I mean, that's the whole point of it. And, then, of course, it's just obviously now devolved to the point. It's just yet another platform for social signaling.
Another platform for feminism, isn't it? And trying to force men to go along with what they say we should be finding attractive rather than what we naturally find attractive. Well, while the mainstream media has been telling us that we should be finding morbidly obese people sexy, Justin Trudeau's government has been telling us how we should be having sex in the age of COVID-19. And I really struggled to believe this. I had really quite a shock when I heard this. This is a genuine quote from the Canadian Centre for Disease Control on COVID-19 and sex. And they say, quote, use barriers like walls, for example, glory holes, that allow for sexual contact but prevent close face-to-face contact. So they're basically advising people to go cottaging and use glory holes in the age of COVID-19. We've gone from sex to produce children within marriage to now official government advice being to use a glory hole. I mean, this is just absolutely disgusting. What do you make of this, Grandpa?
All I can say is mic drop. We've covered glory holes on Clown World in Review at Radio Albion. There's nothing else to say. I mean, once we are at Clown World in Review, we have actually covered glory holes. Mic drop, walk off the stage.
Yeah, it really isn't much more you can say about that, is there, apart from it's just Justin Trudeau all around, isn't it? Well, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for coming on, Grandpa. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.